my responsibility, coach and supervisor of our principals, leadership development, professional learning, health services, and guidance and counseling. So just quickly, just a little bit about my areas of responsibility. We do want to see who we have here as well. So our SHAC members, if you don't mind, and I know you just seated so comfortably, but if you don't mind, if you can just stand up and introduce yourself. So in your teacher voice, in your nurse voice, whatever, your parent voice, whatever voice you want to utilize, just so everyone can see and hear you. And if I may, I'm going to start back at the table.
My name is Marcella Sabatino. I am a business development for oil and gas. And I have two kids inside there, both of them at Wilson Elementary. One is just a third grader, and the other one's a fifth grader in life skills program.
Very good. Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you.
Teresa Thomas, I'm a community member. And what else do you want to know? I'm a physical therapist, so that's what I'm trying to do. If I can help bring you.
Thank you for being here.
My name is Juliana Martinez. I have four kids in Cypress. One in Caleb, one in Hoover, and two in Joe's. And they told me to be a member of this.
I'm Jennifer Moya. I have two kids inside there. I have a seventh grader at Smith Middle School, and I have a fifth grader at Hoover. I mentor at five schools in the district, and I'm on the CTO board at
Wilson. Thank you.
My name is Kelly Long. I'm a parent inside there and also in pastoral ministry in the area at Foundry. And I've got two at Langham, one at Aragon, and one at Lavick.
Thank you, and welcome. Any other SHAC members? Yes, right.
Hi, I'm Wendy Johnson, and I have three children in Cypher, one at Aragon and two at Langham, and I'm a product of Cypher.
Thank you, and welcome.
Hi, I'm Liz Bosquez. I'm a pediatrician just down the road at Cypress Health Center. I've been on the SHAC committee, oh my gosh, since I think 2012, maybe? It's been a while now as a community member. And I'm a product of Langham Creek. I graduated in 97. And I have a son who graduated last year from Cy Ranch. I have a daughter who's a junior at Bridgeland. I have a fifth grader at Polk and a pre-K 4 that will join Hope next year. I'm kidding. I believe in the district.
I'm Ginger Patel. I have a I'm a family nurse practitioner, and I have a daughter in seventh grade at Cook.
Jamie Archer. I do environmental and regulatory issues in oil and gas industry, and I've got two little boys in the sixth and third grade.
My name's April Peart. I'm a business owner in Cypress, and my daughter is at Rose Hill Christian, and I'm a basketball coach there.
Awesome. Welcome.
Thank you.
Any other members? Okay, y'all help me out. On do we stop with the members, or do we also introduce the others that we have in the room?
Everybody's here.
Ray, you want to kick us off?
Sure. Ray Cepeda, I'm the athletic director for the school district.
Good afternoon, I'm Alyssa Shabard. I'm the Elementary Curriculum and Instruction Director.
Hi, Candy Turner, High School Curriculum and Instruction Director.
Hi, I'm Elaine Ware. I'm the coordinator for PE Health on Campus B and Elementary Music.
Christian Casilla, Secondary Science Coordinator.
Good morning. I'm Cecilia Weaver, Secondary Health and PE.
I'm Danny Bartholomew, Elementary PE Curriculum Coach and on Campus B.
Good morning. My name is Paulina Avila Martinez. I'm the Director of Community Health for Spring Ranch Community Health Center.
Susie Hunter, Director of Nutrition Services.
Hi, I'm Darren Crawford. I'm the Assistant Superintendent for Support Services.
Hi, I'm Lisa Colbert Gentry, and I'm the Assistant Director for Nutrition Services.
I'm Melinda Hood. I'm a Health Services Coordinator.
Hi, I'm Emmy Durand. I'm the menu planner in Nutrition Services.
Hi,
Hi, I'm Abby Giles, and I am an intern here.
Hello, Kim Barholt, Nutrition Services, Marketing, and Special Diets.
Good morning, everyone. Franklin Sampson, the Director of Guidance and Counseling.
Good morning, I'm Angela Thomas, I'm Middle School Guidance and Counseling.
Good morning, I'm Mary Hudson, I'm Elementary Coordinator.
And good morning, I'm the High School Coordinator.
I'm Heather Burke, I'm the Assistant Superintendent for Curriculum and Instruction.
Good morning, I'm Linda Macias, and I'm the Associate Superintendent for Curriculum, Instruction, and Accountability, everything that involves that.
Good morning, I'm Angela Baird, and I am Health Services Coordinator.
Good morning, I'm Paula Kraft, and I'm with RCS.
Well, thank you all. Appreciate that. And I just, you know, first time been in this role at Shaq, and wanted to make sure we do things like you've done in the past. And with that, I'm going to take just a minute, and I'm going to step back in time. Back in 1989, when I was a brand new science, middle school science teacher, we established in each and every classroom what we called then our social contract. Some people refer to it as norms, some people refer to it as community agreements, and maybe the latter is perhaps what we'll look at in this group here. And it's really, how do we want to be treated, how do we want to run business in that classroom, and then for us in the Shaq meeting. I was able to look Bevan Gordon. How many of you remember Bevan Gordon, our former Director of Health Services? She's now working at Region 4. I'm still trying to get over that, but no, I'm happy for her, and it's great for her and her family. But since we do not have a Director of Health Services right now, kind of stepping in as the chair for the Shaq. So I was able to visit with her a little bit and kind of see what the community expectations were, community agreements were last year. And I want to bring those up on the screen just for you to take a look. And even before that, we'll get to the agenda. But what I plan on doing is going through the entire PowerPoint, then we'll come back to the agenda and then go in. I think Dr. Macias will be the first that will present. But this is what you had for meeting norms. I'm going to stop talking, let you read those for a minute. And 34 years ago when I started this process, and it's not just myself, I think most educators do that, most leaders do that, just to kind of how do you want to be treated in the meetings that you're having. As you look at that, first and foremost, what we always want to obtain is kind of, yeah, I can agree with that. I see those. Silent cell phone, I'm glad I saw that because I quickly took my phone out and made sure mine was on silent. So if you hadn't done so, you've already verified that, great. But, and you know the why on that. We want to have as productive as a meeting that we possibly can. A couple of things that resonated with me, respect diverse thinking and values and commit to making recommendations considering our diverse community. It's purposeful that we structure the Shaq the way that we do. I'm sure you know this already, but we've got 186 square miles that make up Cypress Fairbanks ISD, 93 campuses, and in a perfect world, we're going to have the voice from every geographic region in our 186 square miles. And then there's so many other ways that you can look at diversity as well, and that's what we want, you know, that diversity of thought, because I think we're better Shaq, we're a better organization when we do exactly that. Allow fellow members to express ideas free of interruption. You can think of those things. Those are kind of common, and that's why we say that they are areas of the way we want to treat each other and what we want to do. The other thing that we always ask is, A, can you agree with those? And B, is there anything else that you want to add? And this is the opportunity for the members to kind of share. If there's something else that you feel is just missing, let us know, and we've got a note taker. We're going to take those down, and we'll get those added to our community agreements. Yes, ma'am.
Just a question. Attending the meeting as a community, a person that I'd like to represent you, I talk to parents, even people that want to become a guest, they can't come during the day. is there a way to maybe have an evening meeting? Is there a way to maybe even have a meeting so that there can be more participation? I'm just throwing it out there because I don't know if okay. this is the place to speak to that.
And in case everyone didn't hear that, what was shared is just sometimes it's challenging for some people to meet during the day. And just the question was posed, is there a way that we could do evening meeting, option of evening, morning, more meetings, things of that nature. And what I'm going to do right now is definitely take that notation and then we can look at that. There is a requirement, minimum requirement number of meetings that you must have, and then many times you have subcommittees, which means additional meetings. So what I'll do on that is to take that, note taker has that, and we will definitely discuss that and see what options are. I know that's a challenge. We've got lots of meetings. I know the staff can speak to that. Lots and lots of meetings, and sometimes we do a variety of ways, and we'll see what we can do in that as well. So thank you for sharing that. Yes, ma'am.
With that in mind, maybe considering doing also a live Zoom as we are having the meetings. I guess that I work downtown. I want to be here, but not always it's possible. So having those live, you know, Zoom that I can log in and still feel like I'm part of it, you know.
Definitely. Opportunity, and I think you did hear that, but how can we utilize technology, specifically Zoom, to where perhaps members could join in from afar? And yeah, that's just reality for us too. That's a COVID keeper for us. You know, when we want to meet with principals, we don't have to necessarily bring 93 people together. Some of them takes 45 minutes just to get to the meeting. We can jump on Zoom and do exactly what we need to. So I saw at least one person come in, two people come in. I'm going to give you 30 seconds to think. I'm going to ask you to introduce yourself and who you represent. If you have any children in the district, then let us know. But while they're processing through that, anything else that we want to add to the meeting norms, community agreements? So give me a thumbs up if you're good with what we have up here. We took a couple of notations down to consider, and we will definitely do that. So thank you. Who wants to go first?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my name is Stephanie Scanlon, and I have a second grade daughter at Brunel Elementary.
Okay, thank you, and welcome.
I'm Carla Purcell, and I have a third grade son at Warner Elementary and a fifth grade son at Smith Middle School. And I also work at Monterey and Herman.
Yeah. Thank you, and welcome you as well. All right, let's see what we have next. You know probably as well as I do the purpose of SHAC, the School Health Advisory Council, and you see some laws referenced up there, Texas Education Code, Title II, ensure that, in our instance, CFISD school health programs reflect the local community values. And then you provide recommendations as a group to the board of trustees on topics related to the health education curriculum or instruction. And as we get into today's agenda, you're going to have a couple of presentations, and that will be the outcome eventually, is that you would make a recommendation to the board of trustees from the SHAC, and then the board would be the ones to approve that or not approve that. Some of the areas of focus, you can see child nutrition, recess, mental health, health education, physical fitness, and obviously there's some things that fall under each of those categories as well. And then we alluded to this earlier. Thank you again for working with today's meeting at 11 o'clock. You can see the next SHAC meeting is it December? Okay, I'm sorry. I was thinking October, but I think that's probably the subcommittee. So December 13th, and we will go back to our 10 a.m. to noon meeting. Correct me if I'm wrong. Do you get a copy of this presentation out there?
We do.
So I know some of you are writing those down, put them in your phone. That's great. But you'll also get a copy of this, so you'll have that. And then moving on, physical activity and fitness planning subcommittee. Reference that. That's actually a subcommittee that will be meeting today at the conclusion of this meeting. And you can see who the chairperson is there. And she introduced herself earlier, Elaine Ware. So she'll give you more information about that at the end of the meeting. And then questions I don't know if you have any questions right now, but what we're going to do is kind of move back up to the agenda slide, or you have a paper copy of the agenda. If you didn't pick one up, let us know and I can bring one to you. And then hopefully you got the email as well with the agenda. And then, of course, we post that on the website also. All right, so at this time, if you look at the agenda, you're going to see where we are, what we have done thus far, and I'm going to introduce Dr. Linda Macias, as she shared before, Chief Officer for Academics and everything associated with that, and then we will, after that, hear from Mr. Franklin Sampson. Linda?
I don't fall for anything. Good morning, everyone. How are you? Good, good, good. Okay, let's see. Is my PowerPoint?
I get that for you.
Okay, thank you. All right, while she's getting, Melinda's getting that up, let me just share with you that this is going to be a very busy season with the SHAC committee. And for my area, it is because there are change in the text. So there are change in the health tech, and there are change in the human growth and development and the human sexual instruction text as well. And so that is a big, big responsibility of yours to be able to look at curriculum and look at the text, the standards, and then make a recommendation to the board. We don't vote on a curriculum here. We actually, well, we kind of do vote, but we're voting on a recommendation. We're voting on a recommendation to provide to the board. They're the ones that will make the decision about whether to accept the SHAC's recommendation or to not accept the SHAC's recommendation and send us back to the drawing board or make another decision that they may choose to make. Okay, so it is a busy season this year in those areas. So.
Board. So I'll have to do it for you.
Oh, okay, thank you. Sorry.
Certainly.
Sorry. So I want to start off first with what the board has charged us with. So the law says that the board has to convene us. So through a resolution, has to convene us to study, to review, and to make a recommendation regarding human growth and development and health. And then Mr. Sampson will talk to you a little bit about his area as well. So this is a resolution that the board has called for.
Can you click one more time?
Sure, thank you. And so I just wanted to highlight for you a couple of things that are in this resolution. Again, you're going to get this PowerPoint as well, okay? So you're going to have this. So you can see here, that's the purpose, recommendations regarding, so they've charged you to make a recommendation regarding curriculum materials for the school district's instruction on human sexuality and the prevention of child abuse, family violence, dating violence, and the trafficking as well. And that kind of falls in my area, but as well as the counseling area as well. And you're going to see why in just a little bit. So they have charged us. We're required to have two public meetings regarding whatever curriculum we've selected or the discussions of those curriculums. These will be our public meetings because these are open to the public. And then the areas they've charged us with looking into are the fourth and fifth grade human growth and development lessons and the high school health course. Remember, we offer health as one of our courses for graduation. And so that health course, for health in itself and also the human sexuality unit, and then I talked about the other piece that really Franklin will speak more about and falls some into my area. And then, can't see it down there.
Oh, sorry.
But,
apologies.
But they've asked us if we can bring the recommendation to them for the January meeting. So we're going to be doing a lot of work and a lot of subcommittee work as well. So that's our charge. Now, you may be wondering, why is an eighth grade there? Right? Because we have a middle school sex ed also. The middle school sex ed, the text, the new texts that are written are already in our current curriculum. So that's already in there. But there are a couple of changes to the middle school, not the curriculum. we have to come back to you. We're going to make any changes to the curriculum. The changes that you're going to see with the middle school are actually two that I think we had some questions about even in this committee. One was that it is that program is a copyright program, so we don't have a copy of that program for every single student. Like we do the reading textbooks or the math textbooks. We don't have a copy for every single student. It is a copyrighted curriculum. So we have one copy for each of the teachers in that grade level, but we don't have one for each kid. So that's why we had not been able to just put it out there for everybody to see. However, we've worked with Scott and White, and they have given us permission, I have it in writing, where we can make the entire curriculum available to our parents. So it is going to be, so when that time comes, we send parent letters. When you have kids have gone through this, we send the parent letters, and there's a link there, like for the elementary, there's a link there. There will now be a link for the middle school one, the Scott and White, where the parents can see it in its entirety. So they'll be able to see, you know, they already are able to see the units, the lessons that we teach. So they'll be able to see everything within that lesson, everything, the entire curriculum will be there available for our parents to be. Okay, so that was something that I think enhanced it, some questions that we had. And then the second thing that we had questions about with the middle school was that we had lesson three, is that correct? Kristen, lesson three? Lesson two or lesson three? Yes, lesson three. That covered our anatomy and physiology. Anatomy and physiology, we had kind of added it in there with lesson three. It just made sense in there. But those are science texts. So we had tests of science texts. But they were tested, the concern was that we were testing something inside the human sexuality program. So we took care of that. That is no longer going to be in there. We just moved it to the science part. So it's not part of the human sexuality. And so there is no assessment of any kind at all in human sexuality. Okay, because those were science texts anyway. So there were the science. That's the only reason we were testing, was because they were science texts. But now they're just going to be a part of the science curriculum, so they won't be of the human sexuality curriculum. So no assessments will happen at all with human sexuality and instruction in elementary or in middle school. Okay, so that's why you don't see middle school there. That's why the charge was not given to us for middle school. So let's talk a little bit about the scope of our work. So at elementary in fourth grade, this is just a quick overview of what has changed with the text. When we get to the subcommittee, and when we get into our subcommittees, you're going to see very detailed about all of this, the text and everything that happens with it. So this is a change here. So they want us to explain changes that occur in male and females during puberty and adolescent development and define the menstrual cycle. What was happening in the elementary, the standards before, was that we had the boys just heard about the boys, human sexuality, right, the human growth and development, and the girls just heard about the girls. The text now says they both need to hear about both. That's what the text says. They need to hear about both. And it also says that we have to define the menstrual cycle. Now, I'm going to tell you that as I read because remember for elementary, we have a video. And the video was created, it was developed by our health scientists, because they're with our health science department. And so we want to make sure we had the experts in there. And it's narrated by them. It's the same video everybody sees. Every single child sees the same video. And we did that to create consistency. And so that no one was adding anything to it or deleting anything to it. It was to create consistency. And so when I look at our script for that video, it defined the menstrual cycle. It doesn't say how to define it. So it's actually defined in there
we can say it's defined in what we already have. The part about the puberty, it's puberty is addressed in there, but not the girls only have the girls' version of puberty defined or taught in there, and the boys only have the boys' puberty. Now we have to do it all. They have to have both. They have to have both, and boys also need to learn about the menstrual cycle. Okay, so there's going to be a little work to be done there, but not as much, I think, as in the other programs, the others that you're going to see. Go ahead to the next slide. So here's the fifth grade. The fifth grade changed quite a bit. Basically, what we were doing in the elements in the fourth I just described is pretty much what we're doing in the fifth year, just a little bit more. But the tech has really defined quite a bit more. So you can see there, I don't want to read it all to you, but you can see the social and emotional changes occur. Again, puberty and adolescence, and again, both. They need to learn about what the boys are going through as well as what the girls are going through, both of them. Again, the menstrual cycle, they want us to talk about the hormones and the changing body for both girls and for boys. And then this part is really completely new, because I think we touch on these. We were able to touch on these in our current, what we have right now. But this part regarding pregnancy, basically, fertilization and reproduction, the fetal development, that is like 100% new with the tech. The others, there were some touching of it and what we did, but that is 100% new with the tech. And then again, boys and girls. Now, they do give us the option, that's up to the SHAC committee, and which we do right now, to provide the human growth and development for boys separately from the girls, so separate them. So that they do give the SHAC the opportunity to recommend that to the board, that it is kept separate, but the big change is that girls will hear the boys' part and boys will hear the girls' part, and then the menstrual cycle. Okay, so that's kind of the big change to it. And then also in elementary PE and health, our previous text, or the text that previously with the text, we pretty much covered the health text in either PE or we dispersed them on some of the other content areas where it was appropriate. But now they've done an overhaul of the PE and the health text, and it really is going to be a more robust type of instruction for them. So that's another part that the subcommittee will be looking at and working on. So here's just a little bit more information. The State Board of Education did not provide a textbook for the fourth and fifth grade human growth and development. They have never provided a textbook for the human growth and development, and they did not this round either. And so my recommendation, and again, we'll talk to the committee, but I just want y'all to know what my recommendation will be that we go back and look at the video that we already have that's constant and consistent for everyone, and that we look at how we can make adjustments to the video and add to the video. And if the SHAC and the committee supports this, we'll work on a script and then bring it back to the SHAC committee, to the subcommittee, so that they can review it, edit, make whatever changes they think need to be made, and then we make the changes to the video and continue with a consistent video supported and help develop our health science department, so that everyone's getting the same thing at the elementary level. No one's going out of their lane, for lack of a better word, in talking about human growth and development. So that's going to be my recommendation. You're going to get a copy of this, so I just put those links there because if you wanted to, you could go back into our current video and view it to look at it again, kind of get a framework about what's in there right now. For elementary PE and health, again, no textbook was recommended by the State Board of Education. I already talked about the previous health texts are covered in PE and other areas. And again, the way the texts are now written, it's going to require more robust curriculum for it. So there are two programs that we have been looking at that we will share with the subcommittee and see what you all think. We will give you access to those two programs so that you can dig in there. Actually, not dig. As a committee member, you're part of your job is going to be to not dig, but to very, very specifically go through that entire program and know it inside and out to make a recommendation. So those are two that that the team has found and will be sharing, and then you can send the committee can send us back to a drawing board to look for some others, and we can do that as well. Quaver Health. Quaver, we already actually use in the district. We use Quaver Music, and they have a Quaver Health. And, you know, any program that you find, and whether it's online or hard copy program, there are different components that you can choose from to use. So I want to make sure everybody knows that, because you're going to find stuff that you may not like in this one, but all of the rest is great. Well, when we look at programs, we try and find stuff that we can shut off. So maybe we don't want to use this component. Like, for example, the Quaver Health is already as part of the Quaver Music, but it's shut off because that's not a program that we use right now. So it's shut off. Nobody can use it. Nobody can see it. So those are opportunities that we now have with programs, is that we don't like this part, shut it down. Nobody gets to use it. Nobody's able to even bring it back up without district permission. So, because you're going to see all these different programs, and you're going to think, ooh, but what about this? If we can shut it down, we shut it down, and then we can continue with the program. And then CATCH is another a program that's very popular among districts for PE and for health. So you all, the subcommittee members that choose to be part of this committee, that's a lot of work to be done there as well, but you will have access to everything so you can go into it and in detail learn everything about the program, bring your concerns, and or bring things that maybe you like about the program. All right, so high school health. So in this one, just an overview, STDs and STIs are already part of the current health curriculum, but they've added a lot of specificity to those texts. And then the text talks about sexting, pornography, boundaries, emotional risks associated with sexual activity, and impacts of pregnancy. So there's a lot there that they enhanced and then that they added as well as part of the health curriculum for human, this is for the human sexuality instruction part of the health curriculum, okay? Because you can actually divide them out. Straight health curriculum and then the human sexuality instruction. And then for the anti-victimization text, which you're gonna find in our Health One curriculum, that's a whole course. Remember, it's a half-semester course that we provide. So you're going to see these pieces here, the family violence, sexual harassment, and just in more detail with how they want these texts taught. So the State Board did adopt a textbook for health. One. And it is called Goodhart-Wilcox. Goodhart-Wilcox. So this is the Goodhart-Wilcox health curriculum. The human sexuality instruction is a supplement to it. So the subcommittee could decide that we don't like the supplement for the human sex instruction. Somebody could say we don't like the supplemental book for the human sexuality instruction, but we do like the health book. So the committee could say yes to the health book as a recommendation, but not bringing the supplemental for the human sexuality instruction to the board for recommendation. So they may say we want something else. We want to look at something else for the human sexuality instruction. That is an option that the subcommittee has. And I'll talk about that in just a little bit. I will tell you, because you're going to find that I'm going to be very upfront with this, because anything that's controversial, I want to make sure the board knows everything in detail. And I want to make sure that you, as the ones who are going to know it as well. So I do want to tell you that there has been some controversy with the Good Heart Will Talk. And I will tell you that while there's been some controversy, all of these districts have adopted. So it will be one that you look at and the committee can recommend, but all these districts have adopted it. I will also tell you that these districts here, Waller and Tomball, the SHAC committee recommended it. The board said no. Just so, I want you to have all that frame of reference. And I actually went to that board meeting, my counterpart in Waller called me, and I knew we were going to be talking about this, and she said, you might want to come and look, Linda, and hear what the concerns are, what the board is talking about. And so I did. I went to the board meeting, and actually some of our parent in here was actually at that board meeting as well, and some of our other committee members were also at that board meeting. And so I just want to be upfront with y'all to let you know there is some controversy, but I also wanted you to know all of the school districts that did adopt it. Okay. So down here at the bottom, back on the other side, curriculums that we have currently for you to consider to look at, as I said. I want you to make your decision, your recommendation on the Goodhart Wilcox. But there's also another textbook called Glencoe that the team has been looking at. And so we'll bring that to you as well. That's also a textbook. We'll bring that to you as well. And you will actually, subcommittee members, we borrowed enough copies so that every subcommittee member has a copy to use. Both this one and the Glencoe as well. So you can see the expectation is going to be that you go through this entire book, and look at what is offering. Have the companion text with it and see if they match, and then make a recommendation for it. Because if the board says we're going to have a human sexuality instruction program, then they charge us with that. We can decide, like I said, for the elementary, keep boys separate from girls, but the texts are to be taught. The standards are to be taught.
I have a question. Did any of the other districts that did not adopt that one adopted the other one, or do we even know?
Didn't you have that for me? Yes, go ahead, Elaine.
We just had one district surrounding that I know of that did Glencoe, just one, and then a majority did Good Heart Wilcox.
So that's why when I saw it like this, I felt an obligation to bring it to you, and that you as a committee could make a decision if it was something that fit our district or not. And then, as I said, we'll look at the Glencoe, and then if the committee does not want to recommend any of those, we do not know of another health book at this point. But we can look at, we know that there's some supplemental programs out there for the human sexuality instruction that we can certainly bring to you as well. Yes, ma'am.
Could we get the data? It's my understanding that only 120 schools throughout the state have adopted the Heart Wilcox. And out of the 120 that have adopted them, only 30 have actually purchased. Are those schools part of that 30?
Those are schools that have adopted it, so I would say yes to it. And the committee, the subcommittee, when they get together, we will provide them even more information as we gather more. And then, but just so you know, although we have subcommittee, the subcommittee will be reporting back to you, the entire SHAC committee. Okay. So, I just want to make sure, I just want to be clear with what the charges and what the responsibility of the subcommittee will be. And so first of all, you're gonna have a big commitment to attend all the meetings. So there's not that many meetings. You know, I think we have four subcommittee meetings. So we're gonna need a commitment that you're gonna attend, because this is very important work, and you do not wanna take a recommendation to the board. where all committee members have invested the time to really get into that curriculum and learn about it and know all the pieces to it. You're going to be responsible for reading, and I put all of the whatever it is that is being reviewed. Not just skim it, but read it all and make your notations. But you're going to be responsible for taking the state standard, the text for this area, and we'll have all that for you, a chart for you. All the state standards, and for each resource that we look at, each book, each program we look at, you're going to be responsible for taking those standards and making sure you find them, that they are addressed in every program or book that we have. Note the page title and make some notation about it as well. And then every time we come back to, when we come to the committee, we will provide a progress report on where we're at with it. And I haven't shared with these guys, but it may be that I ask if we can have a Zoom maybe meeting so that we can share, do an update as well. So we're going to figure that part out, but the whole committee will be making that decision. It's not just going to be the subcommittee. The subcommittee is going to do the work. It's going to present to the whole committee, and then the whole committee will be voting. And let me just share about voting. The voting for a recommendation is a SHAC committee. It is not the district group. It is the SHAC committee. The district group will be there as an advisory, in advisory capacity. You're wanting some more information on this or more information on that. That's their role. But actually making a vote for a recommendation to the board, that is going to be the SHAC committee, not the administration. I want to make sure that's clear, because that was something that came out, as I heard from other districts, is the implication that the committee was heavier on the district side than the parent side. And that is possible, but they're not voting members. The voting members is the actual SHAC committee. Any questions on that part? So we'll make sure we're clear on that. Okay.
I think the November date is November
9th. Oh, Heather is correcting me that
the 19th is Saturday. I mean, we've all.
Okay. I put a 1 there. Heather's correcting me. I did type this, that November is the 9th, not 19th. So I'll make the change before we send it out to you. Okay.
I have a question.
Yes,
how can we, as general SHAC members, be informed enough to take a report, ask questions, and have a dialogue with the subcommittee? Is this material going to be made available to the rest of us as well?
This material? Every
curriculum material that the subcommittee is going to be reviewing?
No. We don't have enough copies for everyone. That's why we have the subcommittee. But if you wanna be on the subcommittee, you know, you can sign up for
and
that.
Just, you can't really have a dialogue in order to vote if you don't have the material to be able to validate what the recommendation is and do some research.
If you have a concern with what the committee reports to you, then I will get you.
Well,
a copy.
I don't know if I have it. I need to have context.
But that's what I'm saying. That if there, I'm sorry, I just said you. I didn't mean just you. If there is a concern from other committee members, then we can look to see if we can provide another book. Because they only give us so many copies that we can.
Well, you would think if they want us to adopt it, they would be incentivized to provide more. So they're a large district, so they can give us as many as they want if they want to buy it.
So this is what we have. We've always had subcommittees, and we've trusted the subcommittees. But if there is another layer that you want, and personally, we as a committee member, we can certainly work on that.
Thank you.
Okay.
And I don't know if this may be her concern, is we're looking at, we only have a December meeting for the entire SHAC, and that probably doesn't seem like enough time.
And that's why I said that we're probably going to try and do another meeting, and probably maybe through Zoom or something.
Okay, so maybe we would have 2 to discuss it and let the subcommittee present.
Yes, that is correct. That's why I'm looking at adding another meeting for in a Zoom for the discussion so that the committees can report. And if you have more questions, the committees can go back also and dig more for you. Yes, ma'am.
So just kind of to address her concerns, so my assumption is that the subcommittee is going to review it and come up with presentation for the group and say, here are kind of some of the controversial areas that we addressed, here's what we feel about it, here's what we decided.
That's exactly correct. That is exactly correct. Where we will use, I think you were on the committee the last time. Were you in the last time?
No, not that.
You were like bosses, yeah. That's kind of the process that we used the last time.
One question real quick. Have the subcommittees already been formed?
That's the next
That's coming.
So those are the subcommittee dates. We will do them in the evening. We just want to make sure that if you, like, parents who want to do an evening can join us. Okay, on to the next one. So at the conclusion of the meeting, so no, I'm not putting a meeting together. You all are. This is your committee. I'm just facilitating. So the conclusion of our meeting today, we will have the sign-up sheet. And remember, we're going to have two committees. So we have one that's looking at all of the elementary, and we have one that's looking at all of the high school health. Okay, so two separate committees, and we have a lot of work to do, and the timeline is short for it. And there's a lot of work in both committees as well to do. And I'm not going to send it out yet because I'm not sure if Franklin has a committee or not. So we will have our sign-up sheet up here at the end of the meeting. And so you are welcome to look at that. And then we will start sending you information so you can start looking and digging. And I just want y'all to know, I'm going to be as transparent as I possibly can with this process, because this is a biggie. This is a biggie. And I am not going to be caught off guard without knowing questions, kind of like what you were saying, without knowing questions. And I also do not want our committee to come across as not doing their homework, because that did happen before. So I don't want our committee to come across as that they didn't do their homework, because this is your recommendation to the board. And so I'm going to leave it at that. Turn it over to Franklin. If you have any questions for me right now, you're welcome to ask me, or you can contact me.
Yes, ma'am. Can you be on both of them, or do you just pick one?
You pick one or the other. They're going to be the same day at the same time. Another thing with these committees is that we're not sharing them. From the subcommittee, there'll be a chairperson. Our district team will be a facilitator. So we'll have a facilitator assigned to each of those committees, but there'll be a chairperson for that committee. I'm hoping that chairperson is the one that's also gonna do the report to the board with the recommendations. Any other questions? All right, Corey.
Okay, I think next on the agenda is Franklin Sampson. So while he's getting ready, take 2 minutes to a little table call. What have you heard so far? And kind of just. Yes. That's a great question, and I'm sure everybody who's not hungry. So no. The recommendation was, if you're okay with this, Franklin, let's just take a couple of minutes so you can get some food if you want lunch. Go ahead and do that, and then you can have a little food on the table while you're getting served as well. All right, you keep eating. And again, there's more tea, water, desserts, all kinds of things over there. So it's as informal you get up, it goes up yourself, okay? But we are going to move forward. Franklin, who is our director of guidance and counseling for the district, is going to kick us off with our final agenda item.
Sure. Thanks, Roy. What we'll do today is kind of take a look at part of what Dr. Pacia shared in regards to our anti-victimization programs that we'll be proposing or sharing with our subcommittees. one of which is called The Coup, and we have a special presenter today from Mental Health America, Greater Dallas. They are the ones that kind of push this program, which is, we believe, is an awesome program, and you'll have an opportunity to, we'll give Megan Ruckley 10 to 12 minutes or so to just give an overview. She won't go into great detail. It's called Who We Help Ourselves. That's what that stands for, We Help Ourselves. And,
I'm sorry.
Oh, yes, thank you. We Help Ourselves, and this will be a curriculum that is, will be designed for our students from elementary all the way up to high school. We also have today a presentation that we'll share with you guys in regards to human trafficking, which will that program is will be was developed by Crime Stoppers of Houston, and that program or curriculum will be shared with the subcommittee as well, along with our child abuse curriculum, and that's program or that curriculum was put together internally by CFISD. So all of those items we'll share with you today. We'll start off with We Help Ourselves, Who? And then from there, Angela Williams-Thomas, our middle school coordinator for guidance and counseling, will share in regards to the Crime Stoppers curriculum that, and then also talk about unhealthy relationships, and then also child abuse. So without further ado, let's go ahead and bring Megan on, please.
Hi, thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here today. This is my first SHAT meeting ever. So you guys have a lot of really great information and a lot of beautiful smiling faces that are good to see. I am Megan Victor. I am with WHO, as he said. I am a former high school teacher, and I'm a mother of three kids, ages 3, 6, and 9, and I really feel like the WHO program is very valuable, and I'm going to go through I recorded myself earlier so that I wouldn't stumble, and I knew how long this was going to take. But I'm going to show you the videos that we would actually be showing to the kids and tell you about the objectives that we're going to be covering. So it will be an overview, but you will get the videos. They're about 38 to 45 seconds each, and we're going to run at a fairly quick clip. So without further ado,
Megan, we can't hear that.
We cannot hear it.
Right, that's correct. We cannot hear it.
Okay. I did send you the link. Did you get the link to the presentation?
I do, but my email is not up there.
Okay. Just a minute.
Yeah, Megan, if you would, let's just go ahead and go with the handout, if you would.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay, so in absence of the video, let's go to the handout. Let me get my copy. Okay, so with the HOPE, the WHO program, WHO stands for We Help Ourselves, and with that, we have three tenets in mind. We want the students to know that there is something that they can do. We want them to do something about it. We want them to make a plan so they can do something about it. And we want them to be able to tell somebody about what is going on so that they can get the help that they need. In our third to fourth grade programming, our objectives for family violence are that we discuss the different forms of abuse. We remind the students that family violence is never their fault. We highlight hurts that happen on purpose versus accidental and the difference between the two. We want to make sure that, you know,
As a mom of three small children, I accidentally step on my kids' feet every once in a while. That is not abuse. That is them standing too close to me and me turning. But there are things that are accidental and on purpose that both hurt. We discussed the difference between discipline and abuse. We help them understand some things that they can do to stay safe in these situations, get themselves out of the situation. And then we help them make a plan for who they can tell. We help them identify who trusted adults are in their life. And the video is, well, hopefully we'll be able to make it to where you guys can see the video later. With the sexual abuse, we want to make sure that the students in third to fourth grade know that no one should be touching us in ways that we don't like. We talk about this in a very non-threatening way. This program was developed, I just want to make sure we know that it's developed by a psychologist. It is research-based, and it was developed to be a non-threatening presentation of all materials. So if you are touched in a bad or confusing way, or somebody just makes you feel icky, you should tell somebody about it. We want to make sure that the kids understand that. With the media violence and internet safety, for fifth grade, we've got a video where the boys are playing violent video games, and the little sister comes in and says, "You're not supposed to be doing this, and I'm going to go tell mom." And the brother is not super sweet to his sister, as we know siblings can often be. But we use that to open up the conversation about, have you ever played a game that you shouldn't? Do you ever feel like you're put in a position where you're watching something that you shouldn't? Do you feel uncomfortable? We talk about ways that they can keep themselves safe when they are playing video games. When they're using, social media or any other apps that have live interaction. We want to make sure that they understand that they're never to share personal information, because that's something that can put them in danger. We want to talk to them about, have you ever seen someone post something online that was harmful to someone else? As a teacher, I've seen this actually happen in the high school level. I know that it trends lower and lower as time goes by. So what can you do when you see that somebody has posted something that is harmful to someone else? We want the kids to feel like they can do something about that. And of course, always talk to a trusted adult about it. In the harassment lesson, we talk about what harassment actually means. And we make sure that the students understand that no is a complete sentence. You don't have to actually offer any explanation for why you want them to stop. You can just say, no, don't do this. We want the kids to really understand that they have the power to do that. Moving on to the 6th to 8th grade, we're going to talk about harassment again. We're going to talk about how no is a complete sentence, and we're going to talk about the different forms of harassment that they might experience. In the physical and emotional abuse, we will discuss with the kids the different forms of abuse. We always want to emphasize that it is not their fault that this has happened to them, and we want to discuss the difference again about the difference between discipline and abuse and what they can do to stay safe. And part of that is telling somebody. We're always trying to help the kids understand who that trusted adult is in their family or in their, well, their family or just their school. Running away and human trafficking. We're going to talk about why some kids run away. We pose open-ended questions to the students in all these lessons so that we can hear what their thoughts are and what they're going to say. We ask them if there's ever been a time that it felt like that was the only option they had. And what could happen to a runaway? We want them to understand the things that they might face if that's the choice that they make or a friend is trying to make. One of the thoughts that we have in there is, how would a teen runaway make money? You know, how are you going to support yourself if you do run away? Perhaps there's a better option. And then we're going to define what trafficking is. In the 9th to 12th grade, we will talk about consent, blame, fault, and guilt, and can a person change? The video for 9th through 12th grade is, you know, and these are all cartoons at present. The video is of a girl talking to one of her friends after a party where they've been drinking, and her boyfriend took advantage of the situation. And they don't ever explicitly say what he did in the video, but you can kind of pick up on it. And we talk about what consent actually means, because the girl talks about how she was not comfortable with what was happening. We want the kids to understand what consent actually is. You have to give somebody permission, that you can still say no. You don't have to offer any explanation for what is happening to you, or for what reason you don't want to pursue this option. We want to make sure that the kids understand that they cannot blame themselves for some action that some other person takes against them. They couldn't have said anything differently. They couldn't have dressed differently. That person made a choice. It was not their fault. And this program actually helps them to understand more about that, helps break that cycle of the thoughts of it was my fault, because it wasn't. And then we talk about whether or not a person can change. And while we do believe people can change, we also emphasize that you don't have to stay with that person while they're changing and while they're working on themselves. You need to keep yourself safe. So throughout the whole thing, we are talking about, you know, ways that the students can get the help that they need. When I was teaching high school, that relationship abuse is a huge problem. So I know that there are questions. The actual video, much better. What can I answer?
All right. No questions right now, Megan. We appreciate it, man.
Okay.
All right. So Megan came on today to just give you guys an overview, and Angela Williams-Thomas is coming this way. That's in regards to the WHO anti-victimization program. And again, we've used it in the past for our elementary campuses, on our elementary campuses, and a couple of our middle school campuses. But they do have curriculum available for all levels. That's one program. In addition to that, Angela's going to give just a quick overview. Again, these are not, the intent today is not to give you all the details in regards to the curriculum. The subcommittee will meet and see all of the information housed within. But Angela Williams-Thomas is now going to share a little bit about the Crime Stoppers curriculum. And that's only for grades 6 through 12.
Okay, as Franklin mentioned, we've partnered with our local experts in the field of human trafficking, Crime Stoppers, and this is a brief synopsis of the presentation. It indicates 60 minutes, but that's the amount of time if Crime Stoppers themselves is presenting the presentation. So I'll give you an opportunity to take a look at what's covered in the presentation, the basics of human trafficking, terms to be aware of, trends near you, and then the growth of human trafficking is addressed, and then how you can, our students can get involved in advocating for themselves and someone else in the fight against human trafficking. The hope is that students would come away from the lesson with more information regarding what human trafficking is, where it happens, who it affects, how they or an individual can be lured in to human trafficking, as well as a strategy and strategy to help end student trafficking. So this is a brief example of what human trafficking involves. Right. exportation through force, fraud, or coercion, so students have a better understanding. And then the lesson goes on to give examples of what each of those areas are, what examples of force, fraud, and coercion are listed. They also want students to be informed that human trafficking can occur everywhere. So, sometimes can be a foreign concept to students, and so they want them to know that students can be victims and it can happen anywhere. Victims have been identified in all 50 states. There is an estimate of 25 million people worldwide that have been affected by human trafficking. And then 76% of transactions for sex with underage children and adolescents are conducted online, just making students more aware of what they post online and how they interact with individuals online. Bringing it closer to home, Texas ranks number 2 in reported cases of human trafficking, and then 313,000 victims. Okay? And then to bring it even closer to home and give students a better understanding of what how they can be impacted by human trafficking is that they use a Starbucks example where there are 148 stores in the Houston area, and this area has more brothels than Starbucks stores. And surprisingly, Cypress has several brothels that most people are not aware of. Okay. Some of the victims, of course, the majority are female victims, and then 29% are male, and then 25% are minors. Again, giving students the awareness that it's not just a stranger. Most of the perpetrators are actually individuals that the students know. So immediate family being 36%, boyfriend and girlfriends, and then strangers are actually at 9%. The stages of grooming are then discussed, with students being targeted, again, with being careful with what they post online, because perpetrators look for that. They look for students who may be lonely, who may be posting things about family and not connecting with family, not having financial resources, and so they befriend these individuals, they gain their trust, and then they start fulfilling whatever that void is or whatever the need is, and that's how they move in and start isolating the victims. And then finally, from that, they capitalize on that relationship. And then some takeaways. Again, we want students to be able to advocate for themselves and then also to help another individual who may be in need as well. So never stop advocating. They suspect that someone is in danger, or if they're in danger themselves, to make sure that they tell a trusted adult, and then to report to the appropriate authorities or agencies, because it is a crime. So that's the gist of the presentation from Crime Stoppers. The Cyfair ISD abuse presentation, it's a part of the comprehensive anti-victimization unit, and so with child abuse, we want students to be aware of the definitions of physical, sexual, and emotional abuse, and there are examples that are given. And then what they can do to advocate, again, for themselves or for someone else, telling a trusted adult or a counselor or another person that can help them or another individual in need. Calling 911 if they're in imminent danger, and then, of course, having a safety plan to get away and to move to safety for self-defense. Okay. Unhealthy relationships and teen dating violence for prevention. Again, along those lines that they mentioned in WHO, letting students be aware, making them aware of what teen dating violence is and what it looks like, so they have a clear picture. Okay. Some statistics there. And then, of course, many teens don't report the unhealthy behaviors because they are afraid. Some warning signs there of what to look for. Okay, because some individuals, if they've only seen unhealthy, they may not realize that it's unhealthy. So giving them a clear picture of what unhealthy actually looks like. And then what are healthy relationships based on? What do we want individuals to know? So that it's based on respect, staying true to yourself, common values, communication, and being genuine and real. You don't have to change yourself for someone else. And then again, how to seek help if you or someone is in need. So we have speaking again with a trusted adult. There's the hotline numbers and then 911 if they are in imminent danger. Okay.
We'll have an opportunity for you. You'll have an opportunity to join the subcommittee if you so desire. Angie Rhymes is in the rear, and if you'd like to sign up for the subcommittee, we'll meet on October the 5th, and then we'll also meet on October the 6th. On October the 5th, we'll meet at 1 p.m., and then on October the 6th, we'll meet at 11 a.m. But we'll share that information with you if you desire to become part of that subcommittee. We'll look at both programs more in detail. Just to give you guys more information, with Crime Stoppers, it's free, but again, that's only for 6th through 12th grade students. But with the cost for that is will be roughly $300 or so for our elementary counselors to be trained. For the secondary levels, it's a little bit less than that, but we'll disclose all of that information at the subcommittee meeting. All right. Any questions? Yes, ma'am.
Does this address what the or give recommendations for the child if they reach out to the trusted adult or the police and they take no action?
Well, I know that for sure. When that question is posed, then surely we ask them to reach out to a trusted adult. If that adult does not take an action, of course, we encourage the kid to seek out another trusted adult. We surely hope that there are more adults, trusted adults that kid interacts with on a daily basis. That's why it's so important that we have those relationships with the administrators, counselors, teachers on the campuses, and even sometimes the custodians become the trusted adult in many cases. Yes, ma'am?
I don't know if it's addressed on the videos also, but I feel like some of the harassment starts from the minute they sometimes get on the bus. I hear from a lot of my kids, you know, they are together with all grades in one bus, and there's a lot of people just calling each other's name, and I don't know if it's just bus driver having any kind of training on those harassments. Are they sending that information back to the school? Things like that. I think, you know, especially these kids know where each other live because they're around, and I just want to make sure that somebody's addressing from the time they get picked up, because it is a school responsibility.
Sure, and you may have heard about Senate Bill 179. Housed within that is the Comprehensive School Counseling Program, which consists of counselors being available to give classroom guidance and share some of those skills with our students, so that if they are on the bus, then hopefully they will act responsibly. Course, and if there is a situation that would warrant an administrator getting involved, then surely all of our bus drivers are trained on communicating with the administrator on the campus. And if there's an issue that maybe there's a group of students that may need some mediation or the like, then that's the benefit of having our counselors available and sharing with that group of kids or individual student, which happens in some instances. Any other questions today? Thank you guys for your time. We really
appreciate it. So we mentioned what grade levels the Crime Stoppers and the WHO curriculum was, but what about the CFISD abuse presentation? What grade levels
for
that?
For that one, we share with all of our teachers one presentation for our kids, 6th through 12th grade. WHO will cover the child abuse piece. So I hope that answered your question.
So it won't really happen at the elementary?
The part that you saw with that Angela presented is only for secondary purposes. But they will receive those numbers and those tools that are needed if they're being abused, or if they suspect someone else is being abused, they know, or they've been taught to share that with an adult responsible adult.
You might have mentioned this before, but this is the only option. There is not another option for this material?
We've researched quite a few different places and programs for curriculum purposes. We feel that WHO will be the most comprehensive. As you can see, they touch on a host of different topics. And
I'm just a little sensitive to the initial was we help ourselves, and this seems to be putting the onus on a lot of the child, and I'm interested in hearing what we're doing to give resources to the administration to recognize that an unburdened and abused child.
Yeah, trauma-informed care is a big piece of that. It's a requirement, and it's been a requirement for a couple of years now within a program that we utilize called Cognito. Housed inside of that is the trauma-informed care piece for all teachers who are onboarded. In addition to that, as we return back from being out from the pandemic, we required all teachers to participate in a two to four hour comprehensive virtual training on trauma-informed care, and that all falls right into the concern that you have.
So there's a complement to this.
Yes, ma'am, absolutely.
Thank you.
And will we be able to view the curriculum on either of these,
yes,
the Crime Stoppers and the other one?
Yes,
ma'am. Ms. Johnson, if you would like to become part of the subcommittee, if you would see Angie and All right. But for every piece that you see in here for different levels, there's a lesson plan and a video that, of course, complements it.
Well, I just wanted to know, because if we're at the shack going to vote on or make a recommendation to the board,
I was going to kind of piggyback on what Franklin had shared with you, and even take you back to what Dr. Macias said, that she had a book, you know, textbook and everything associated with that. Likewise, here, you're going to see everything. Every video that we have, we want you to see every video. But sometimes video, they get more attention than right or wrong than other ways of sharing information, and we want you to be able to have access and see everything. So, you know, I know that Franklin mentioned subcommittee. I know he mentioned two dates in early October. It may be that he sees that we're going to have to do even more of that to make sure that you see in a little bit more time frame. I know, thinking back, checking for my understanding on this, Dr. Macias, but looking at January and going to the board. So, you know, it's compressed time. But it may be October, was it 5th and 6th,
yes.
You know, may not be enough time to do everything. So we'll do what we need to do to make sure you see everything, because as was mentioned before, how can I make a recommendation if I don't know every piece? So we want you to see every piece that we have. Anything else? Anything, any other questions for... No, I'm giving Franklin a hard time. And all those questions are wonderful. So please just continue to ask on that. With that said, I know he's already kind of mentioned who to see if you want to be on the subcommittee in those areas we just heard the presentation on. But likewise for Dr. Macias, I'll let her kind of share what that process is again, since that was earlier in our meeting.
Okay, so I'm going to move the. Can you bring the form up here? So I have the sign up for the committee. Lovely Letitia is walking up with it. She's my director for elementary. So I'm going to sign in sheet. If you'd like to sign in, I better say one thing. I'm hoping that on both committees we get some healthcare professionals on there, because that's always important, and we've always had. And I know that there's several of y'all in here. So I'm hoping that y'all will divvy up and be on the committee. With the rest of the shack. Also, I wanted to share, if I put your question that you have for me, the elementary, because this might help make a decision, the elementary, we're going to talk about obviously how we're going to either revamp or update the video that we have, but that PEP's health of the quaver and the cat, those are both electronic programs, right? Yeah, so those would be easier to have access to if you want to choose the high school one and then have access to the other. Just so that you know, that might make it easier for you. But either way, y'all can see we have a lot of work to do. And so there's lots of committees. And so we might be spread thin as well. So we might have to make some adjustments along the way as well. But the sign-up sheet is there for both things.
What time are the meetings going to be held on this day?
Right now, I'm probably looking at around 5 o'clock around there. So we do like a 5 to 7. We'll put a little snack in between there. That's kind of what I'm looking at right now. Once we get the committees together, I know when I'll just get some info from them as well. That's kind of what I'm looking at.
They would be here?
They're probably at the district office, the subcommittee, the smaller groups, and we can just do a conference room.
I have another question.
Is there a reason why the board needs a January deadline?
So our deadline for January is because the majority of human sexual instruction that we provide is in the spring. And so that's why we'd like to get all the new information in and get it in the letter. There's a letter we sent out to parents. So that's our goal. It's in the spring, so that's why we want to get to the board in January. We have to look at probably in February. I talked before about extension in February, but that's the reason for that, to get it ready for the spring. Yes, ma'am.
Is the suicide prevention curriculum part of that last piece that we saw? We just didn't touch on
it. It's not. That piece is not supposed to, it wasn't really supposed to be on the agenda today. I just wanted to piggyback off what Dr. Macias stated in regards to the letter for the anti-victimization program for curriculum. There's an opt-in letter that has to go out. So it's not automatically presented to every single student on the campus. Parents have to opt in to receive that info. So I just wanted to make sure that everyone that was here.
And you know, that's the same thing for the elementary, middle, and high school, is that everything is an opt-in. And parents may opt in for all the lessons, or they may choose not to opt in for some of the lessons, not about the middle school, but everything is an opt-in for that. The law was changed very clear this past year.
Very good. And just back to something that Franklin said earlier, and piggybacking again on what Dr. Macias said, we really don't know the amount of time just yet. I think her committees are probably going to be more labor intensive, if you will. But with the other, you never know. I mean, we'll just see where we are. You've got three options, and that's what we're hoping that we'll have plenty of individuals on each of those, and then I know that they'll work to on time. I know that was asked, is what can be done to make sure y'all can be present with that. And then as a full SHAT committee member, you'll be very knowledgeable about all three areas after the presentations and the questioning and everything else, because that process has been utilized not just here but all over, and it works well. So just think about that. Angie is here, and then the other sign up sheet is on the table that Letitia brought forth. Before we close, let's just kind of, 11 o'clock was a long time ago. You've been sitting a long time. You got a full tummy now. Those at 8, a couple of you didn't eat, but maybe you'll pick up something on the way out. But just kind of think back, and I just want to, you've heard of plus delta before. Just, you know, somebody just yell out a plus. What was a positive that took place today?
Like we get to do something.
You're excited because we get to do something? That's good. Yeah. I know she'll be on at least one committee, if not more, right?
It's obvious that a lot of effort has gone into all of this already.
A lot of effort has gone into this already, trying to set you up for success, doing some of that background work, and then you will be very knowledgeable, as I said before, about that. Yes, ma'am.
And it's good to see that the district is willing to make some compromises and changes. You know, things are, you know, society's evolving and things are happening. So we always have to be kind of catch up to what's happening now. Just showing those 80s movies, you know, what is going on? So they just reflect to what I'm doing today, you know. So it's good.
And sometimes it's just, and I'm speaking for myself, the changes in the law and how quickly that happens, and then, you know, how school districts across the state respond to that, and they have to respond to that. And we're fortunate where we are in Site Fair, as we've got individuals like yourself, community, parent, administrators, teachers, all of that, all of us, that's what we do. So it makes it even better when we've got that diversity of thought that we talked about at the beginning as well.
Well, we're all here for one reason, the kids. So, I mean, we all have different views of them, but our goal is the same thing, to take care of the kids.
Well said. Anything that would make the next meeting even better? This is where the Delta comes in.
Keep bringing the food.
Okay. Keep bringing the food. All right. Let's maybe a request for what you want, Chef. Maybe next time.
A little coffee.
Coffee?
Maybe eat first.
Coffee
would be good.
It would be good. This is. We kind of look at this.
Okay, simmer down, everyone. No.
This is kind of the classroom, and we're the classroom teacher, and it's, you know how important it is. You've got to differentiate that instruction. Everyone learns differently. Some people need coffee. Some people need, you know, a brown sugar shaken from Starbucks. So, you know, no, we won't do that, but... That's where my assistant went to get me one when I get back. Anything else? Yes, ma'am.
I just want to say, you know, to your point, I think everyone has different views, but it's obvious to me when I see things like this how much effort the district and you all put into researching, selecting things to put forth for recommendation. It's just a lot of thought goes into that, and I think you guys do a great job.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And a resource. I mean, that's what we are. We want to give you whatever information, whatever knowledge we have, and then you take that, and as Dr. Messiah said before, y'all make that recommendation, and that will go to the board. All right, I think I heard a delta or two that'll make it even better next time. We'll work on that. Many more pluses, which we appreciate that as well. So we're going to officially close, and look, 12 minutes early. Are y'all okay with that?
I know.
And if you're staying for the fitness subcommittee, then we'll start just a few minutes
and everyone's clear. You're staying for the fitness subcommittee, and Elaine is to my far right.